Now, Brad and I sometimes talk about technical difficulties in services, which we have no control over. But it's always amazing because we have that moment where you're just like, well, it's just going to be what it's going to be. And I don't know if there's something special about that release, but it's almost like God steps in those moments and really just helps us along to just have incredible worship. From where I was sitting, worship was just amazing this morning. And just a really wonderful moment of leading us into the presence of God. And I hope you felt the same. Let's give our worship team a hand today. They do a lot of good work, which is good. I also want to let you know that it is in your bulletin. Next week is a family service Sunday, and we do this very rarely where we close all of our children's services, including our nursery. Now, I know some of you have young ones, and I've met some of your children, so I understand why you may not want to come to church next Sunday. And for those of you, and you know who you are, you can go ahead and just stay at home. That'll be just fine. No, I'm just kidding. But we've got a family-friendly service next week. We're going to have a great time of worship. Even the story in the sermon is not going to be very long, and it's really going to be geared a lot towards the kids. You don't want to miss opportunities where families can worship together. I know it's a little bit of a hassle when your kids are in here with you, but it'll be a great Sunday next week, so I hope that you will be a part of that as well. We're in the couple days before Christmas, and our series of, well, who needs Christmas is what we've sort of talked about this year. Who really needs Christmas? And I think everybody's asking those kinds of questions about, you know, what are we giving our kids, and are we giving too much or too little, or what's it all going to look like, and what are the family traditions that are coming together? But I want to ask a question today, and we're kind of in family seating today. I want to ask a question. What is your favorite gift that you've ever been given? If you think back over the course of your life, it's not a trick question. You don't have to say Jesus. We get that. What is the best gift you've ever received in your life? Think about that for a second. And like I said, since we're all coming, look to the person next to you, tell them what the best gift you ever got in your life was. Go ahead and tell them. Go ahead. Okay, I heard somebody down front here say underwear. I think we're getting off track now. Okay. What were some of the things? What were some of the gifts? What was your best gift? A what? A cross. Okay, I was going to make fun of that, but I can't make fun of that one. A what? RC controller car. Okay, that's good. I like that. Okay. Very materialistic and worldly, but that's okay. That's fine. What about you, Mike? A bicycle. Okay, yeah, getting on that exercise, right? Keeping that heart healthy. That's really, really good. Okay. I remember a few gifts. My sister's visiting you today. I remember the day. I don't know, Elise, if you remember the day that she and I both got bikes when we were growing up. We walked in. We had this lounge area at our house, and the doors were closed, and the doors would stay closed. We weren't allowed to open them until our parents, you know, finally came downstairs. And I remember the day we walked in and we had bikes, and we were so excited. Of course, we realized later it was a self-serving gift because they wanted us to just ride ourselves to school. Our parents are just really lazy. They really are. But I remember that day. I remember the gift that I got. I got a radio control car. Of course, I was about 6, not, you know, 25. But I remember getting a radio control car. And I remember my grandparents had this carport that had that great concrete. You know, if you've ever had a control car, you know that. And I remember my younger sister, Deline, she came running around the corner and she jumped in the air. And she landed on my radio control car 6 hours after I'd had it. And that's why I don't talk to her anymore, because, and I hope whatever she gets this Christmas breaks. I really do. I just do. But I remember that gift. I remember the Christmas night. It wasn't on Christmas morning, but Christmas night. We always take a big family vacation because summertime in South Africa is this time of year. And so it was the 27th. We would always leave for this family trip. My dad had bought us a small boat, a family boat for us to enjoy. And I just remember those moments, that time of year, that those gifts that were just fantastic and just exceptional. The next question, you don't have to tell your neighbor, but what is your favorite memory of Christmas? Like, when you think back over the years of Christmas, what is your favorite Christmas memory? I remember the doors being closed. If I close my eyes, I can still see the doors being closed to our lounge area. I still remember they had these little, like those bottle, you know, and it looked like bottles on them. like those circles. I still remember what it looked like. I still remember when we would open the doors and it was just that moment where you couldn't breathe for a couple of seconds. I also remember that after we had opened our gifts, we would have breakfast together. We would sort of lounge around and look at what we have. And the nice thing about South Africa is if you got something, because it's summertime, you can actually play with it outside rather than, hey, in America, here's a bike. You can use it in 3 months, which is always a little disappointing, let's be honest. But I remember it was just great times with our family in the morning. And then at about 1 o'clock or about noon, we'd get dressed up. And then my mom is one of six siblings. So we were always going to one of my aunts or uncle's houses. So there was always a ton of aunts and uncles. We were one of 19 cousins. So you can just imagine what those moments were. And we would see each other. The adults would all chit-chat and have tea and you know, eat little things that everybody had brought. And all the cousins would just go crazy. And it was always so much fun. We would play hide-and-seek in the houses. And it was just it was just wonderful memories, some that we hadn't seen maybe all year or something like that. And then my granddad, okay, my mom's dad, who's long since passed away, but he had this really bad Santa outfit. Okay, you know that fish that they sell, the guy that wears the yellow slicker? Okay, it looked exactly like that, except it looked like Santa. And he was a really good, bad Santa, okay? So he would come out, and all the uncles and aunts would give gifts, and he would, like, disperse them, and he'd forget names and all kinds of stuff. And the younger kids, we sort of knew, but we didn't quite know. And then he would always disappear for that time, and then he'd come back in, and we were like, well, Grandpa, where were you? Oh, no, I must have eaten something really bad. I've been, you know, indisposed for the last 30 minutes. Just really awesome memories. The sweetest memories that I have are about those times together. My point is this. When you think of Christmas, do you remember something that you got or someone? Most people, you're right, Curtis, someone. There's people that are probably, we could never recreate that moment again because a lot of these people have passed on, moved on, don't live together anymore. Life has changed. And yet we miss those moments because they're so dear and so special. And I know you have those memories for your family as well. Is it about the getting or is it about the gathering? When you think about the wise men that came to see Jesus in the book of Matthew, did Jesus remember did his mother remember? Well, they brought really nice gifts. Or did she remember that they came from afar to seek and worship you? And Mary said, "I'll never forget what it looked like when they knelt down to this little baby and they worshiped." It was all about the gathering. You see, if we focus too much on the gifts, we miss the present, we miss the moment. And yes, those moments are exciting, and the gifts are important. But there is something beautiful about those moments together, that we must not miss the present. We must not take ourselves outside of it, because that is what Christmas is really and truly about. In the series about Who Needs Christmas, we've talked about that the kingdom is represented in unique ways through unique people. When God talks about the kingdom with the coming of Jesus, it looks different than it has any time before that. It's going to be different, and God uses different people. It's not the religious leader, men, Jewish people. He uses women, and he uses these people over here, and he uses Gentiles. He uses all kinds of people to try to tell the story of Jesus. And we relate to them. It's the longing of Elizabeth. Elizabeth, who is barren, she's unable to have children. For years, she's wished for nothing more than to have a family during holiday. But now she's too old. Never going to happen. She's longed for it. And God opens her womb and pours life into the one who was barren. Or it's the obedience of Mary. She's a young girl, probably no more than 14 or 15 years old. And the angel calls her and says, "I want you to do this." And Mary has the option to say no, but she says, "No, I'm going to step forward in faith. And I'm going to believe." There's an innocence to her faith that's represented in the story as well. It's the searching of the Magi, the willingness that they have to travel across a continent to find truth. They're looking for proof, and they end up finding truth. It's the following of the shepherds that are in the field, and the angels say, "Come and see what God is doing." And these very regular people get up from where they are, and they go, and they worship the coming of the Messiah. shepherds are the ones to follow. And then there's the blessing, the gift of God in the midst of the story, the coming of the Messiah, what God gives to every one of us. But if we focus too much on the gifts, we miss the present. And sometimes we miss Christmas because we miss Christ. Sometimes we don't see Christ, and that's why we miss him. You see, so many people focused on what they thought God was doing that they missed what he was actually doing. And sometimes I'm the same way. I always think God's doing something over here, and yet God's working over here, but I'm just so focused on this thing over here, and God's saying, just turn your head every now and then. In the Gospels, we have Matthew and we have Mark. Mark's the first Gospel written, and then we have Matthew and Luke, and then John is written at the end. Today we're going to look at John's retelling of kingdom. Now, there's something very interesting about the Gospel of John that's different than the other ones, and you've heard me talk about this many times. John does not have a birth narrative. That's Matthew and Luke. John starts his gospel with the words, in the beginning, just like the book of Genesis begins, in the beginning. What John is doing is he is taking the history that we know and he is imposing something new onto it. For Matthew and Luke, the Jews have kind of been following and doing something, but it hasn't quite worked out. And now God has sent his son to kind of rectify everything that has happened. Does that make sense? But John doesn't tell the story that way. He starts in the beginning because what he wants everybody to know is that for John, Jesus has always been plan A. It's not like God did something and it didn't work and so now he's got to do something else. John is telling his people this was always God's intention to send his son so that he could be among us. And God sent all these other things to show you how imperfect they are in the hands of people, and they will never bring you close enough to God, so he himself will have to come. And John wants people to see that, and that's why he doesn't tell a traditional birth narrative story like Matthew and Luke. The unfolding of God's kingdom is through the rising of Jesus. It's not just his resurrection at the end, but from infancy as he grows and rises. That's what John wants us to see. We're going to be all in the Gospel of John today, and I want to read a couple of passages. This is why, this is part of what John is trying to do and share with his people so that they understand it. In John chapter 3, beginning in verse 29, he's talking about Jesus here and Jesus and the people. It's like a wedding imagery. He says, "The bride belongs to the bridegroom. The friend who attends the bridegroom waits and listens for him and is full of joy when he hears the bridegroom's voice. That joy is mine." This is what the Apostle John is saying, because he's getting to announce Jesus. Okay, "And now it is complete. He must become greater. I must become less." This is a narrative that runs throughout the Gospel of John, that he is constantly trying to point people to Jesus and say, you need to see him. You need to give him greater place. You need to follow him all the time. This is why John doesn't tell a birth narrative story, but he kind of does. He tells a bigger story. Jesus is born in what town? What time? Bethlehem. Yes, Bethlehem. Amen to that. Born in Bethlehem, a place that means the house of bread. Okay, everybody knows Jesus is born in Bethlehem. Everybody knows that Bethlehem, the word means it is the place of bread. See, John chapter 6, verse 48, Jesus says, "I am the bread of life." He doesn't say, "I was born here." He just says, "That's me. I'm the embodiment of that." What about Mary and Elizabeth? Elizabeth, who is old and thinks she has passed years of childbearing. Mary, who is unmarried and innocent. Both of them wanting families. The Bible doesn't tell us the story of how that came to be. But in John chapter 10 and verse 10, John writes, what Jesus says, "I have come that they might have life and have it to the full." What could be more full in life than a mother who never was and now is? What could be better than that? What could be more full? How much more life can you share? Jesus doesn't just say, "Hey, miraculous things will happen." He says, "I will become the life that dwells in you." What about the Magi, those that had searched for a long period of time to find the truth in the universe. And John chapter 9 and verse 5, Jesus says, while I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. I'm going to lead you. You're following a star, but I'm bigger than that. I am the light of the world. But what about John 14 and verse 6, one that you know, it says, Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. The life that we see these people experiencing and being a part of in their world. Or what about the shepherds? The shepherds who were just really simple folk. And then Jesus, in John chapter 10, he says this. He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd, doesn't own the sheep. When he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep, runs away. And when the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it, the man runs away because he's the hired hand. Cares nothing for the sheep, but I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep. My sheep know me. What does it mean for us today? When Jesus says in John 11, 25, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live. John is telling the birth narrative. He's just telling it in a completely different way. The unfolding of God's kingdom for John is through the rising of Jesus. As Jesus becomes greater in our lives, abbreviated, when Jesus becomes Emmanuel to you, the kingdom is fulfilled. When God is in us, that's the epitome of what kingdom is. We often miss Christmas because we miss Christ. We miss Emmanuel. We celebrate. We celebrate Christmas, or do we celebrate the story of Christ? Which one do we choose? Is it just going to be one moment, one day, one second when the doors open and it's just exciting for about 30 minutes? Or are we going to embrace the kingdom unfolding in our lives with the rising of Jesus and him becoming Emmanuel? That's the question that John wants to know. Do you believe Jesus is the bread of life, that he is way, that he is truth, that he is door, that he is shepherd, that he is light of the world? Or don't you? Because your life will depict which one of those sides you believe. Is it just a moment, or is it the celebration of Christ? So the question, who needs Christmas? We need Christmas because we have families. We want to see them. We want to share with them. There's nothing wrong with the excitement that your kids are going to feel on Christmas morning. But don't miss it. Don't miss the infusion of God in that celebration. Don't miss the searching and the longing and the following and the obedience. Don't trade that for just a moment of excitement. Because God wants to unfold his kingdom in our lives. And he does that when he has place for us. Enjoy your memories. Enjoy your gifts. Have a wonderful time. Try not to kill your children in the next 2 weeks. Don't miss it. Don't miss Jesus. Because otherwise it's just a holiday. Don't miss it. Because he wants to be there. He wants to be a part of it. He wants to burst through the doors of your life. Don't miss Jesus. Father, thank you today for just a moment together that we get to share in your goodness, that we get to just revel in your presence. And God, may we all be flooded with sweet memories. May we remember those who no longer sit at our table because they're in your presence. God, may we be thankful because of how blessed we are. May we not grumble and complain. May we find joy in these moments. Jesus, Jesus, we just pray that you would be Lord of our lives, that you would walk with us, that you would guide us, that you would help us. God, that you would become Emmanuel for our world. We live in a world that desperately needs you. May we be the conduits that you use to bring your presence to a world that desperately needs you. Thank you so much for this time of year, for this Christmas season. We just pray that you would be among us and with us as you promised you would. We pray this all through.